This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's my pleasure to open up the second half of this hour on Wednesday, the 15th of May, 2024. This is the Man Down Mashup Hour, where we turn 1 hour into 2 hours and we analyze what's in the news. Today we are exploring the role of the public intellectual in a small island developing state like the Bahamas. We have sort of centered the town hall meeting about the quote-unquote new hospital, quote-unquote new state-of-the-art hospital that is being proposed to be erected in the Western District of New Providence on what they call that highway, which is between the six-legged roundabout and the Saunders Beach roundabout. I think it's called New Providence Highway?
Yes.
Yeah, New Providence Highway. And so we are exploring the role of the public intellectual in juxtaposition to that conversation, and maybe hopefully with some time in juxtaposition to a conversation about, we're coming to you right now, caller, to the event, the Masterclass Series lecture, Return to Idealism, and maybe even in the context of the cannabis debate.
Okay.
But
let's go. Let's go to the caller. Caller, go and went.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning. How you doing?
Fine, thank you. Good morning, Aaron Cuz.
Morning.
Listen, Mr. Neary, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
The property that the government is planning to use for the new state-of-the-art specialty hospital, is that Crown land?
The majority of it is Crown land.
But isn't that a swampy area?
We have engineers who can build on swampy areas, yes.
You kidding me?
Yes, and to the top of the best in the Caribbean.
That is meant for the young people that get back in the day. The engineers couldn't do nothing with that, but they could do something with this.
They have learned their lesson, and we have intellectual engineers
okay
now.
Okay. I think Gladstone Road, or like even the spot that is being burnt right now by the forest fire, Coral Harbor Road, and because you know we have so much people in the Carmichael area. Then you have emergencies from the airport that comes in sometimes. You have to go through traffic to get them to the hospital. I think that would be an almost perfect area, you know, because we already have one up in the east, one near to the west, I think would be good.
But the question is, what are they preparing to offer there? Again, if we go to the article in today's Tribune, the 200-bed specialty hospital will specifically host women and children, featuring a neonatal unit, imaging services, morgue and pathology services, and telemedicine. I mean, I expected that it would have a trauma center, like you say, to receive people being flown in from the family islands.
Yes.
But that's not happening.
And then if you look at it too, traffic-wise, it would be easier. Especially for persons who live like in the middle of town and western area, more because the traffic is really bad trying to get to the one that we have up there now.
But you are mixing up the issue. And let me explain why I say you mix up the issue. You are looking at the hospital, the proposed hospital, the specialty hospital, as a general hospital
which will
service emergency calls. This isn't for emergency calls, so there's no rush and need to say, well, this is centered or anything. This is a casual drive, and this is a central place for it. So I hear what you're saying, oh, this would be better for, but the reasons why you're saying it's going to be better, it doesn't make sense because it's not a general emergency hospital.
I understand that.
Okay.
It's not general, but they say other stuff will be happening there, but I still feel like even for those services, it's still traffic to get to the one that we have now. And for that area, the distance is a little longer. Depends on where you're coming from, but still, I think it's less traffic to get there. You have you ever seen a woman in labor and need to get to the hospital? It happens a lot.
I imagine you live on East Street and have to go to the Michael Road too. I understand.
Imagine you live in Exuma or Acklands and you having a complication with your pregnancy and you got to fly in, and then from you hit the airport, you got to now drive to PMH.
Thank you. So we got to be more considerate. I think you need to do some serious cross the town hall meetings to figure out a good spot. I don't think they should come up with a good spot on their very own, because they don't seem to be having much of a good idea in their heads these days. I'm sorry to say so.
But the only good thing is they already concluded this will be the spot. There ain't no debate anymore.
Well, let me hush up then, because my opinion no matter.
Mr. Newry, historian, is that the land where they discovered or found the old train tracks, the old sort of railway transportation track?
I think the railway transportation tracks are in Cat Island and Abaco. However, that's where the water wells were. So when you go on that land, you'll see a lot of waterways, and this is where we got our water from some time ago. So the wells are still there. So now, in terms of...
So will construction of this hospital in any way interfere with, reduce, or completely eradicate access to the water table and access to fresh water from home wells?
It should be something should be considered. And I know they have environmental people. The next town hall meeting, it's going to include environmentalists who will speak on that topic, in terms of how will the construction of this hospital impact the water wells and the mangroves, because there are mangrove swamp in that area also.
Listen, Sandyport was built on
Sandyport. Don't flood. They don't flood, though. They had the best engineers develop that.
So they were able to work with the land and contain the water in a way that wasn't detrimental to both the environment and the structures they build there, right?
But as soon as you go over that bridge, Sandyport, you can flood. I'm just saying. Sandyport, you can flood, but over that bridge.
323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. Anybody who was at the town hall meeting, just call or text 422-4796. Was an EIA, an environmental impact assessment, presented? Was it referenced? Did anybody talk about it? Did anybody talk about an EMP, which is the environmental management policy or plan, environmental management plan? Did anybody talk about the things we're talking about now? How will the surrounding communities be affected by this construction? Will there be an impact to their access to well water? Will they have to then re-landscape their properties to prevent flooding in the area? Were any of these things raised or discussed at this meeting? Here's a text. Mr. Newry, speaking to your intellectual topic, we have intellectuals all over the archipelago. 52 is one of them. He thinks about and applies what he is reading to the Bahamian experience. C. Allen is another. The real issue is, like Aaron said, the political class prefers to hear from them in private to, quote, steal their ideas, close quote. Until governments are willing to have open discussions with the people, our intellectuals will always be marginalized. And until professionals are prepared to create guilds and journals and associations that function as more than liaisons to the political class, where you document your expertise regularly so that Bahamians can weigh your validity in governance or in policy or wherever on their own, as opposed to your validity is determined by your affiliation to a political party, then we could get somewhere.
At the event at UB, where they had the Honorable McQueenie, Casey, where they had Sir Franklin Wilson, and of course they had the intellectuals from UB, Dr. Ian Strawn, and it's another person.
Dr. Tracy Thompson.
Right. The intellectual, McQueenie, mentioned a time when Aaron Bailey hosted spots where the intellectuals came about and talk about constructively and propose ideas on how the Bahamas can develop.
Aaron Bailey as well as Government House?
No, I mean,
not Government High School?
No, the person.
Or where Aaron Bailey came.
Yeah, the person, Aaron Bailey, the man, right? They propose an intellectual response to the sitting government in terms of what can we do? Where should we be headed as a country? Mm-hmm. The texter suggested that we have intellectuals who express themselves. And you mentioned guild. There is no intellectual guild, therefore, ergo, there is no intellectualism, right? Because there needs to be a spot, a conclave,
a space
where intellect, what do they say, iron sharpen iron, or some kind of quote is that?
Uh-huh.
Or there needs to be a place where these so-called intellectuals, that the texter suggested, put their work, their writings, their proposed ideas, and flesh it out for the public. And if they are unable or not doing that, they do not exist.
I mean, that ain't no true.
No, it exists in your mind.
I exist.
Then God exists.
I exist.
And God exists.
I exist, and I try to balance my engagement on the show to continue to maintain a space to be able to perform as a public intellectual.
But you have a collective body of work in terms of historic work and where you've gone in spaces to express your space.
Yeah.
And I would dare challenge those people who were mentioned, where is their collective body of space where I can come and say, let me research and see if I can apply these things to what is happening. Where do anyone write to the editor anymore?
Yeah,
do we have, I mean, with their name attached now?
Yeah.
If they have no name attached, they don't exist.
That's another question,
yeah,
right?
They don't exist if their name is not attached. You got to have your name attached to it so I can respect you as the individual.
Right. That's the question. If a name is not attached to your work, are you truly a public intellectual?
No.
If you're writing anonymously, you're writing under a pen name, can you be deemed a public intellectual? And can you call yourself a public intellectual?
Yeah, just suiting your ego. Well, that's what suiting you. That's all it is.
Let's go to today's Tribune. Letter to the editor. In today's Tribune, a tribute to Loftus Roker by Latre Ramming. Is the Government Afraid of Questions by Jay Palmer? I was hoping that we would see Ortland Bodie, one of the regular writers, right? In a letter to the editor, Kevin Evans.
He's very polarizing, isn't he?
Yeah, but they are polarizing. But they do write.
And they attach the name.
So prolifically. And yes, they attach the name.
And they go to extremes.
Right.
Either extreme
and
left or extreme
so
right.
I could appreciate a biased or polarized contribution once you attach your name to it.
Mm.
But there's a serious question of, and I think I took the time to try and frame it.
Well, I can read this text in the meantime while you look, right?
Mm-hmm.
Say, all of this is interconnected. The entire system called the Bahamas is broken. One man was placed in charge for ensuring that all of the parts are realigned and working smoothly together. Anybody know if the PM out of the country again? Oh, Lord Shade. If he's in the country, does anyone know if he knows anything about anything? Can he answer one question? System Bahamas is broken, and every 5 years, another group comes in to take a shovel. Put us in deeper in the hole. I'm hoping that Michael Pintard presents his action plan and associated bills before the election to get us out of this mess, not the least of which is to stem the tide of illegal immigration and forged identity mm-hmm. documents. And I guess that's a lot of political pandering there, but I understand the frustration of the person.
Also, if you saw the article in The Guardian on the 13th of May entitled Nearly 180 Questions Unanswered on House Agenda.
This is a government who came in, say, the government of being transparent, you know.
Absolutely. In fact, this is a really good article, I think, because what it does is it juxtaposes when the PLP were in opposition and asked the same question.
Hmm.
And then they moved to when Pintard asked the question, or when the FNM placed the same question on the table for question time.
Well, we have need to interrogate that later
on. Very interesting.
Let's call it in, Aaron, and let me read this text. It says, the train tracks is by the Red Cross. Former Prime Minister Ingram was going to put the hospital there. It's more land there. The Higgs are the owners of the land. So, okay.
So apparently there's a proposed other hospital that's going to be on the opposite side by the Red Cross, and that apparently the Higgs, whoever the Higgs are, owns that land.
Eminent domain.
No, eminent, you still got to pay them.
Okay.
Yeah, but I guess the issue is someone got to get rich. And they, it's who we can get rich. Anyway, let's go, caller. Can you hear us?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Neary. How you doing? Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning.
Yes, I mean, it's interesting that Ms. Green was talking about, I think, public intellectuals or something like that, because last night I already had my mind made up that I was going to call Mr. Neary, and, but they called it inside out, and I could pick a bone with him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
on that basis, based on that same kind of principle. A couple of days ago, Mr. Neary was talking about how he feels as if he needs to, like, be more intentional with his platform. I think to try to be more effective in terms of, like, influencing probably positiveness in the society. Am I correct, Mr. Neary, so far? You remember that?
Yes, I was on my social media page. Go ahead.
Yes. And Ms. Green was talking. I think she said something about idealism. I think some idealistic thing and how, something like that too this morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I feel as if, Mr. Neary, that an ideal thing for you to demonstrate on your platform, right, is to be a fact checker, all right, and do not allow individuals to say or speak against things that are not true. I appreciate when Ms. Green does that, whenever she does that, whenever there's someone on the show, even if they're in the studio with her or on the telephone, and they say something that is factually incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Green always, I mean, I won't say always, but at times I've seen her correct individuals,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, I feel as if that is something that you need to be doing too, sir, because you are a public intellectual, Mr. Neary.
That was a liar. Stop calling me names.
I agree with you there. He's definitely a public intellectual.
You qualify.
Take
as
that
a public
back.
Intellectual,
Take
Mr.
it
Neary.
Back. Take it back right
so,
now because
so you
I pause
a responsibility,
you.
Mr. Neary.
I don't like people calling me names,
to be,
though.
To be impartial when it comes to what is said on the radio and how it is addressed.
But I bias.
You can't say it then. But then, even if you bias, still try your best, Mr. Neary, to try and say when something is fact and when something is not.
The devil's a liar.
Right?
But I appreciate you very much. But let's go, Aaron. Let's continue the conversation. Try to change me. The devil's a liar. I like entertainment too much. That's why I have you. You do the fact checking.
Ah, there you go.
And I do commentary on the fact checking.
Absolutely.
Social commentary. I know fact checker. That's why Candy has inboxed me. Say this next. No, I said it.
I mean, she said correctness.
No, I do commentary. Entertainment.
Yeah. And it's a balance, right? Because you can quickly be accused of attempting to change people's minds when you correct them.
I ain't correcting nobody, man.
People accuse you of arguing with them, and really what you're trying to do is posit, put on the table what is perceived by the common, the majority, as the actual definition of something. But it's tricky to curate a space. It's tricky to curate a space, to create and manage a space where people with differing views can come in and challenge each other. And it's tricky in this place because we stopped doing it.
Yes.
We stopped doing it.
But as you get your reading right there, let's go to the next caller.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Ms. Green, Ms. Neary, the most addictive show on earth. I call again. You see the last caller, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like that dread. Listen, he said something very important. He always, you know, you see, when people call and they open up the minds of others, that's what counts. So I would appreciate the fact checker because I've been dubbed, maybe I iconoclast, whatever, but it's a different type of critique, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where I critique the status quo because every time they send me down a rabbit hole, I find something contrary to what they're telling my brothers and sisters in the public. Now, for me, having read Michael Singer's books and writings and eugenical narratives.
Mm-hmm.
And then I knew that one of the concepts they had, right, from the 20s and 30s, right, was to use the healthcare system to get rid of the poor. So Hitler had a thing they call the final solution. So I don't hate the Jews, and I don't mind their views, but I can tell you this. We face the same problem as them. They wanted to get rid of Jews, and they wanted to get rid of blacks. Now, here's where the problem lies for me, all right? Let me use their data and their charter against them. It is said that 80% of the population doesn't have $1,000 in the bank, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what that simply means to me, whether it's doing it unwittingly or wittingly, it doesn't matter for me, okay? What it means is the affordability of healthcare directly relates to the suffering and dying of poor people. So Some people put on a plastic smile, what we call a crocodile smile. So why is they smiling in your face with a photographic and psychological psyops? Their intention is to get rid of the poor by getting rid of the poor using the healthcare system. That is the final, that is, I call it the final solution. That is their solution. So one of the deception is make it look like you're helping the poor, but really, insidiously, you're getting rid of the poor. And what, even if any of you, like I said, whether it's wittingly or not, you're getting rid of the poor because the affordability of the healthcare system is intentionally or unintentionally doing it. So I don't have to worry about you say I'm incorrect or not. But the fact is, it is doing it. Okay? With the amount of dog food that's coming into the country and the poisoning of the people's minds, body and soul. Listen to me, man. All right, let me give you an example. I said that. Having said that, what it means is once you cannot afford a healthcare system, you don't deserve to live. And that is the message I'm getting, okay? I don't need people to agree with me, you know. That's the problem with us. We are weak and pathetic, and we're really looking for congruence all day on the plantation. It doesn't matter for me. Just like the pandemic. What the pandemic did, it impoverished people, lose businesses, lose houses, etc., and lose lives. So that was the intention of the pandemic, whether they believe it or not.
I appreciate that 52. I appreciate the 52.
All right.
But go ahead, Aaron.
So I got a question here from our conversation, and the question is, Mr. Newry, what are the implications of universalizing the discourses of the North American scholars? Let me bring that into this context here, right? Let me tell you what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about the way that our governance models operate, right? We seem to be adopting regulatory and policy practices from developed nations without actually interrogating an accurate or more authentic application to a Bahamian dynamic. Our leaders are just a mimicking and mirroring North American policies without actually determining if they can work here in the Bahamas in the ways that they are being applied. And many people get left to the side when that happens, right? 52 is talking about a real thing that has happened on the planet, a deliberate act to reduce population sizes, right, through this wild healthcare system. I'm going to put on the table that perhaps what we're looking at is more incompetence than malfeasance, because we continue to adopt models that A, we don't understand, and B, we don't understand ourselves sufficiently to be able to apply those models to our current dynamic.
Then I'll challenge you.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about models. Have we had any public intellectual come up with an independent model to say, this is what we should do, this is where we should be, and then hash it out to see the feasibility of it? I'm saying that everything that we have adopted for the past 50 years is something come out of country that we say, this looks good. Every time we talk about improving our educational system, improving our governance, right, improving our social care, mm-hmm. we say we go out to bring it back in. It's nothing that is germane to the Bahamas that we create and craft a system,
mm-hmm.
right? Even in terms of our religions, even our religion is external coming back into the Bahamas,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you claim that we have public intellectuals here. And I said, I don't see them.
We do have public intellectuals. I mean, then maybe you're right. I could only speak for myself. I'll say we have a public intellectual. But then I know Pat Ramming is a public intellectual. And I know Pat Ramming writes regularly in the papers, right? Mm-hmm. And I read Pat Ramming's work and the work of others in editorials. We have Alicia Wallace. Alicia Wallace presented a statement that her organization co-crafted with the Caribbean Feminist Network addressing CARICOM's approach to the Israeli-Hamas conflict and the treatment of Palestine by the global community and Israel in particular, right? We have those people. Now, I will say that I am remiss, and I really do want to create a space where I bring the contributions of the public intellectuals from newsprint into a conversation into the public domain. But I started to do that with Pat Ramming. You could hear new language around tourism. This is what I've gleaned from Pat Ramming's work as a public intellectual, right? And so they are there and they exist, but it is we, the people, who refuse to acknowledge their value and ensure that they continue to have a space. Whenever some politician gets up and says, why are you listening to them? Obviously, they are part of the opposition. The public must get down, get up and say, listen, even if they are remotely affiliated with the opposition, they're making sense. Let them speak. At the very least, we will listen to them.
Let's go to the caller, but I want to mention this, that last night the minister mentioned that the Gladstone proposed site floods also. And that the same concerns that the residents of the Chippenham Grove area is having right now, she's sure that the residents of Gladstone Road would have had the same issues. So they made a decision to say if they go into the Grove, Chippenham. So when people complain, it basically saying that come with the facts. And see that it's basically the same thing. But let's go to
I don't know where the facts are. It is a political class, a political practice that keeps the facts hidden.
Yeah.
So nobody could engage in a sensible conversation, and then the political class could just say, see, you don't know what you're talking about.
I'm just saying that was
while they refuse to give the general public access to the information.
Just saying that the minister discussed it.
Listen, we've had this statement from Prime Minister where now settlements determined by courts and by judicial systems can be kept confidential.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It seeped right in. And all of the supposed intellectuals in these parties refuse to say anything in the public. We know they speak in. We know they're talking to each other in private in their little WhatsApp groups and their little cigar room lunches and briefings. And then when they go vacation and celebrate birthdays, we know y'all are speaking, but you're not speaking in the public domain. And thus, you should not be regarded as public intellectuals.
Hmm.
Anyway, I see the
phone blinking.
And I want to go to a statement by Dr. Sands. I want to talk about the lack of public discourse around the creation of a cannabis industry. And back to return to idealism.
We all kind of talk about cannabis industry, man. We talk about it all the time. But go ahead, Carla.
No, we don't.
You don't? Go ahead, Carla. Can you hear us? Carla, going once. Producer, that going through? Hello, can you hear me? No. Okay, you can call us again at 323-6232. But go ahead. What else you want to talk about, Aaron?
Okay. First of all, we are about to create a medicinal cannabis industry. Producer, let's go to the call because I'll stick a pin for the caller. We're about to...
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, Mr. New. You didn't allow me to finish my point, sir.
Okay, I'll see if I have to cut you again, but go ahead.
You had to cut me for what?
Because I control the show. And then you interrupted me.
Anyway, look here. All right, Mr. New, look here. Yesterday, I made a statement yesterday, right?
This is the one with Haley Sassy being God?
God. I didn't say anything about God, Mr. Neary.
Just making sure that he is not God. Just making sure.
Yeah, I didn't say anything about God, Mr. Neary.
Go ahead.
You see, it's a shame, though, Mr. Neary, right? Especially coming from an individual like yourself, it's a shame because the other day when you were talking about eating the cake and you were saying that, you know, people, it's good that you know history. I thought that you might know history, you know what I mean? And if you're familiar with World War II, then you would know who the participants were and you would know the circumstances behind World War II. You understand? And on top of that, too, like being that you... come from SOC, like I graduated from St. Augustine's College also, Mr. Neary, you know what I mean? So I'm a little disappointed in you from that aspect also, you see, because you were talking about how at St. Augustine's you all had certain information and certain subjects that I don't remember having when I was there. So I mean, but you had them, so I expect you to have a little more knowledge and be, like I said before, but I would expect you to bow to what is objective truth, Mr. Neary. And you should know, Mr. Neary, that the King of Kings title itself, just the title.
Is Haile Selassie again?
Wait a minute, Mr. Neary. Wait a minute. I didn't say anything about Haile Selassie.
Well, who's this King? Only Jesus, King of Kings?
Wait a second, Mr. Neary.
But if you don't want to say Jesus, King of Kings, I got to cut you.
Mr. Neary,
because you're talking blasphemy.
But Mr. Neary, I'm talking about where the title came from.
I ain't worried about the title. I just want to know who the person is. Is it Jesus?
Is the
just
reason the title
see,
exists,
blasphemy. And that's why you vex me. Just because I say Haile Selassie is not God, you're mad.
I didn't say anything about
then acknowledge,
God, Mr.
Then acknowledge that Haile Selassie is not God, and we continue the conversation. Say it out loud, and we continue.
Mr. Neary.
No, just say it out loud, and we'll continue.
Say what out
loud. That Haile Selassie is not God, and then we continue. Just say it, and then we continue.
What kind of...
Just say it.
Wait a minute. What type of, what you call that thing? Prerequisition.
I just say you say it, let me continue the conversation. But you trying to drive me to hell, and I refuse to go down to hell.
By asking you.
Devil is a liar,
Mr. Nuri.
Rebuke you in the name of my Jesus.
By asking you what is historical truth, Mr. Nuri?
I know historical truth. You trying to say Haile Selassie is God, and I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
If you open up an encyclopedia right now, Mr. Nuri,
will say that Jesus is God, and say Haile Selassie is not God, you rebuke you.
Mr. Nuri, you can interpret whatever.
I
don't
interpret nothing. I just know that Jesus is God, and Haile Selassie is not God.
Mr. Nuri?
Go ahead.
Mr. Nuri, in 1930...
No, you're trying to go back down there. Just start the conversation. That's Haile Selassie is not God. Don't worry about that. Jesus was crowned that in 2000, in the 2000 AD. We're talking in his calendar. I ain't talking entertaining nothing else.
Mr. Nuri.
You're talking devil talk. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
And you see, Mr. Nuri, you are a prime example. You are a prime example.
You're talking devil talk.
You are a prime example
of not talking devil talk.
You're a prime example
of not talking devil talk.
I'm just saying that intellectuals in this country.
I'm just saying that I have to cut you now. I still have to cut you,
Mr. Nuri,
because you trying to put on the airways that Haile Selassie is God, and you vex because I refuse to acknowledge that. Jesus is your Lord and Savior.
Example of the failure.
Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and you must yield in the name of Jesus. Okay. All of that talk about Haile Selassie from yesterday, no, vexed her at it. But I refuse to let anyone come on the airways and say that Jesus is not God. You could debate who Jesus is, but Jesus is God. But let's continue, though.
I mean, call the name of Felix Bethel.
You think, Felix Bethel is God?
Definitely a public intellectual.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to bring the cannabis debate into this conversation, right? In the minister's administration, we heard this fanciful talk where our minister desperately intended for us to infer from his commentary that he is close to legalizing recreational use of marijuana, right? And then snap election, the PLP take up the helm, the blueprint for change, we're going to create a cannabis industry. I attempted to curate a conversation about this because I felt it was important for this conversation to be framed properly.
Mm-hmm.
What I realized when I heard people responding to it was that people don't know what the law is as it exists right now before any cannabis bill is passed. There are 11 cannabis medical, cannabis and recognized jurisdiction order 2023, cannabis bill 2023, cannabis regulations 2023, dangerous drugs amendment bill 2023, and there are 7 more bills to be tabled.
Mm-hmm.
As it stands right now, an individual can cultivate, possess, and consume, and even sell Indian hemp products with authorization from the relevant ministries. That exists in the law right now.
Yeah. Has anyone given authorizations yet? I know that recently the Commission of Police did some raids to several stores who sold products that had hemp or...
CBD. Right.
In it. And said that nobody, that's a statement, nobody in the Bahamas has permission to sell these products. At that time, I remember that was...
Right, so what he could say is that after reviewing the files, no one has been granted authorization to possess, trade, or sell these items. But as the law exists, that authorization can be granted. I'm aware of an individual who was cultivating Indian hemp for industrial use on marijuana.
When you say Indian hemp and industrial use, give me an example so people can understand what you're talking
about. He's growing hemp...
For rope.
To be processed for fibers to make rope for industrial use.
He's growing rope. He isn't growing wheat.
Listen, this is the problem with attempting to carve out a space for public intellectual discourse. The law speaks to all Indian hemp products and byproducts. So it covers the THC-contained cannabis that people are smoking, and it covers the Indian hemp for industrial use, for fibers, for construction use, right? It covers the gamut of it, all of it. the THC candy products, the buds, the things that you smoke, the fibers that are grown, all of it is covered by the law. You need authorization from the relevant ministries and ministers to be able to cultivate, consume, export, whatever. That exists in the law right now.
I assume that's what you're trying to promote. You're trying to say that.
No, I'm not trying to promote anything. The point I am making is that this conversation about decriminalizing cannabis is a disjointed and awkward conversation. And I suspect that the state intended for it to be that way because it shut down any attempt at it shut down and discouraged any attempt at public intellectual discourse around the matter. In fact, almost every private NGO stakeholder in the conversation that I invited to come on my show refused, and I suspected that they didn't want to say anything that would decrease their proximity from the government, right? They didn't want to say anything that would put them on the outs with the authorized, with the authorizing agencies.
I would say something contrary. I would say the persons that you invited weren't prepared to discuss it because that's not their angle or their pursuit. They're not talking about the Indian hemp, which makes rope, because they're not interested in that trade. They're here to promote a particular aspect, and that aspect is what the government is talking about.
Pause. I wasn't crafting a conversation about a particular aspect. As a public intellectual, I'm attempting to create a space where we can interrogate all of the issues surrounding it. So I'm sitting here realizing and knowing deep in my heart that this talk from the Minnis administration and the initial talk from the Davis administration had nothing to do with decriminalizing or legalizing for recreational use, because people can already seek authorization for that in the existing law.
Which people?
Anybody. Foreign investors, Bahamians.
To get permission.
Get authorization to cultivate, to consume, to export, to process. You could, in the existing law as it stands now, the point that I'm making is that I suspect that the government created an environment that discouraged any public intellectual discourse around the issue, because that would expose what it is that they're doing. And what it is that they're doing is creating a medicinal cannabis industry.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with it, first of all, is it's not what the Minnis administration first intimated that it would be doing.
This is a different administration. This administration
will fulfill what they promised. That's not relevant to the conversation that we're having or the points that I am making. The points that I am making is that the Minnis administration started it and the Davis administration picked it up and continued it. The it being discouraging any public intellectual discourse on the matter, because that would not be politically expedient.
I believe that in contrast to the Minnis administration and Davis administration, I think the Davis administration will pull through at the end. Maybe nearer to the election.
But
you will see that this debate will be concluded with. In contrast to the Minnis administration, we just don't do anything.
That's not the point that I'm making. The point that I'm making is that people expected the question of legalizing recreational use to be on the table, and it's not. And that if we had more public discourse around the matter from the onset, then it would have been exposed to people that the prior Minnis administration and this Davis administration had and has no intention of decriminalizing, of legalizing recreational use. And the measures that they have made to decriminalize recreational use are in and of itself ineffective, because the real problem is not that you get fined for having a joint, you go to jail or counseling for 3 months for having a joint, but that the U.S. government does not expunge their records when the Bahamas government expunges its records. And you can be denied a U.S. visa indefinitely for doing something that you Americans, almost the majority of which can do in their own home states. See,
I hear you.
Right. And so there was a space for public intellectual engagement around the matter. There is still a space for it, but because we did not have that space, there's a whole bunch of people who are frustrated, are disconnected from the conversation because it's not what the government said that it was intending to do.
But we know from the last commission, the Marijuana Commission, they said that they're not entertaining any recreational debate.
I don't think that's quite what they said.
I remember having a conversation with it, and they said that they're entertaining medical marijuana, and they're entertaining a specific group who does it for their Eucharist. Two different options.
Yeah, I can be honest with you as well. I'm troubled by what I perceive to be the lack of public intellectual discourse, even by that committee. Even by that committee.
Anyway, we're going to commercial break. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. And let everyone be known and be clear. Jesus is God, not Haile Selassie. Amen? We'll be right back. Yep.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
With boss man was saying in the back there just now.
About what? The luncheon?
Why are you always worried about food? No. About how we gotta pay a little more for national insurance.
Mildred, you talking fool. I can't afford to pay that.
And you're always crying palm out. Ain't gonna be much. Boss still gotta pay. 1st of July 2024.
I think that premium benefit is what did help my boy Tony through the pandemic. That same unemployment benefit. And guess what?
What?
Susan, I think she'd get a pregnancy benefit, eh?
You mean maternity benefit, eh? So now, we gotta do our part to make sure we get our pension. All right.
For more information, visit NIPRateIncrease.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
Quality. And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Is this a caller on the phone? Just check it to see so we clear the line. Go ahead, caller. Call going once. Are you there, caller?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, man, go ahead. Sorry about the wait.
Man, you're having a good show. I must congratulate you on Miss Green this evening. I mean, this morning.
Thank you.
Well, yes. I want to talk about the marijuana first, if it's possible.
Yeah, man.
Let me introduce myself, Kareem Hanjil. I ran in two elections, independent.
How many votes you got?
I'm also a supporter of marijuana recreational legalization.
Yes.
And as you said, you know, the direction of the government is not pushing for recreation, you know, and not having a conversation outside of the religious purpose. You know, and not everybody uses marijuana for religion or for recreation. You know, some person just use it because it's a form of meditation. It's a private use, and it helps. And medicine is good, too, but not the only thing. And then we talk about the hemp. A lot of people don't know that, you know, hemp has a lot of byproducts, and it is far better than, you know, we talk with blocks. Marijuana, they turn hemp into, not marijuana, but hemp into blocks. They have, you can build homes out of. She talked about fabrics, textiles.
Oh, look, fire-resistant blocks.
Yes, they breathe oxygen.
Yeah.
They clean the air.
Mm-hmm.
They clean the air. They're renewable. That's what we're talking about, taking our country forward. So the dynamics of marijuana goes beyond just recreation. You could create laws and regulations to protect persons who are underage. Because when I started smoking marijuana as a politician, I was 21. I was a man. I was in university. And so I was able to understand, and I have my belief in why I do it versus alcohol. I don't drink. I drink water and I don't smoke me a joint. But that's basically my meditation or what I use it for and how I function on a day-to-day, on the job and off the job, okay?
You smoke weed on your job?
If I smoke weed on my, I own my business, so at the end of the day.
You don't drive no car, right?
No, I don't drive car with marijuana.
No heavy machinery either.
I don't grow marijuana. But at the end of the day, marijuana the station be illegal. Because you talk about numbers. Numbers was illegal, they made it legal. Marijuana is one of that case studies. Something that you could just make legal. You know, you're expunging records, but then you're still locking persons up. You're not regulating the persons. Persons are currently probably in the business. You're not putting them at the table to even get their input in terms of how you could keep them in the business. Okay, because then you don't want to just filter people. Okay, that's unemployment. When you talk about statistics, people and what kills. Alcohol has killed more persons. I don't even know if weed kills anybody. I don't know if weed gives you even, I don't even know if weed even gives you cancer. Okay, I've never had a person suffer from getting cancer from marijuana. I it is what it is, but I think as Aaron says, the intellectual conversation around the industry and around the conversation of marijuana has to be done. And looking at the dynamics of the hemp side of it, looking at the medicinal side of it, looking at the recreation and meditation side of it, and looking at the religious side of it. So it can have a full understanding, so when people make a decision, they'll understand that if I had a choice, I would choose marijuana over liquor any day as a product to make money from, both globally and locally at the end of the day when you talk about all levels. And in conclusion, I want to say this to you, which I agree with, in terms of Selassie. Because all of Selassie mouth, he said it himself, that Jesus born from one parent. That was it. Selassie said that he had mommy and daddy. So how could he be Jesus? Or how could he be the Son of God if he have both parents, mommy and daddy, flesh? And then the Most High, Jesus, had one parent flesh, which was the mother. He said that then that's why the problem was inside Jamaica when he went there, because they over there have him as God, when he know that's not no true. But due to, like you say, the wars and all these things that Mussolini and all them conspire, and the queen and all them conspire to destroy a black king, because he was also Maroon, he was faithful to his wife, so he followed Black Jesus Christ when he switched from his original religion. When he died, he was he followed Black Jesus, Selassie. Okay, so at the end of the day, he ain't God, and he knows this. But them who won't continue to say he's God have to then seek judgment for themselves, as you said. But Jesus is Lord, my brother, Yahshua. Yeah, anyway, everybody have a good day, and I hope to hear from you all soon.
Blessings and be safe.
We have 3 minutes, Aaron. Make it quick. So anyway, they said the Bahamas National Marijuana Commission held town hall meetings throughout the Bahamas. They also did community walkabouts and a public survey via Open Current. See, all
that's,
that was
that's,
done.
That's good. Hold on. Pause. Mm-hmm. That's good. It's not sufficient. Simple. It's very good. It's not sufficient. Mm-hmm. Right? This requires a thorough... Like, we have to have this conversation about the potential legalization of recreational use and all of this, we have to talk about the drug era. We have to talk about the legacies of the drug era. We have to talk about the economics and the evolving economics of the shrinking drug era. All of these things have to be put on the table to talk about. But imagine we spend all of this time allowing our government to pretend like it's having a conversation about the fullness of cannabis and what could be done with it. And their intention was simply to regularize a medicinal cannabis industry for obviously only a handful of actors, because only a handful of actors could meet the strict requirements of the industry, right? But it is our place as citizens to demand that the state engage in public intellectual discourse by creating that space. Don't just let Frankie Wilson and Sean McQueenie talk here and revile about how they used to invite all the great thinkers to come to the Unicall meeting But now they refuse to meet with young people and to meet with great thinkers. They just presume that we all go tune into them whenever.
We gotta go, Aaron. I'll make space for you Friday to talk about that again and this hemp thing. This has been Guardian Radio AM with CA Nuri. We gotta go to the news right now. Have a wonderful day.